The sermon, my sermon title this morning is really simple, because Jesus said, right? Remember when you were a kid? Right? The authority in your house is your parents. You need to go ahead and do this. Why? Because I said. Right? Well, that's what Jesus tells us. Hey, guys, do this. Why? Because I said. Because we know who he is. Now, some people may not know who he is, but we want you to get to know him. And if you don't know him this morning, we want you to get that much closer to understanding that this morning. So Jesus said, so we're going to go to Book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. If you want to open up your Bibles, I'm going to read this verse, these verses together. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, that was the rebuke that the children received. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, and he laid his hands on them. Now, this isn't the only passage. Matthew and Luke also have this story recorded. We'll look at those just briefly here, too, in a second. But what we've got here is that Jesus' first command is just bring them to me. Bring them to me. I want to see them. Okay, I want these children to come to me. Now, who is bringing the children in this case? So the people bringing the children, if you look back to the first part of this chapter, chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus left that place, and he went into a region of Judea across the Jordan. Again, the crowds of people came to him, and he, as was his custom, he taught them. So he was holding family camp. Jesus was holding family camp across the Jordan, right? And all the family members were there. And as was usual, it was a customary thing when you had a spiritual leader, head of the synagogue or what have you, that when the service was done, the parents would ask for that individual to bless their children. And so they would come to Jesus. And so Jesus would bless them. And he wanted them to come. But the disciples, they're looking at it going, "Are you kidding me?" And it doesn't, we get a little bit of a better hint about what's happening here. If we go to Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, it says this, "Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him, said, 'Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child shall not enter it.'" So Jesus just was reiterating what he just said, but here, who are the parents bringing? Even infants. Now, if I'm a disciple, and I know it's sometimes you look at people in the Bible and it's pretty easy to kind of pull the heavy on them, kind of look down at them a little bit, go, "Well, I can't believe it. You're with Jesus and you didn't get it." I do that all the time, just so you know. There's so many times you get involved in something and then you realize, "Oh man, I really blew it. I missed an opportunity there. I didn't behave properly. I didn't see the big picture." Right? Well, the disciples just, they weren't getting it. And I'm sure they might have been tired. And they look and they see this throng of people out there and they're bringing everyone. Right? You got moms and dads, you got siblings, you got, caregivers, you got everybody in these families coming and bringing all these children. Because they wanted the blessing of the Savior. So you had the caregivers bringing children to the life giver, and Jesus said, "Hey, this is for everyone. I don't want anybody to miss out on this." So he brought even the infants. So that's why at Oak Grove Church here, we start, right? These kids in the nursery, they have the most amazing nursery workers, right? And do you know who's faster than an Olympic sprinter? Right? And a nursery worker whose toddler just escaped, right? But we have those things set aside so that people can come and they can sit in the auditorium like this with the rest of us and be not disturbed for a few minutes and mom and dad have a little bit of solace where they can just focus completely on just spending time with their Savior. But they have great, great opportunity from the time they're born all the way through. I could talk to you about our college kids. Just unbelievable. So I've got a couple of them sitting here right now. Bailey's going to be teaching in the children's church here eventually, but she's already an Awana teacher. As soon as she got here, she started helping out and serving. Amazing. Bailey's brother, Wesley. He's on the security team. He's working right now. We have other kids who aren't here today. They're off. Joel Larson, for example, he is with his family right now at family camp. But Joel grew up here, went to youth group here, and now serves as a youth leader. He's also very successful in this life. He is on the management track, actually ownership track, at Chick-fil-A. It's a delicious decision, right? You know? But I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. Because, see, there's a potential for him to have what you and I, humanly speaking, would say an incredibly successful life. But what's he doing now? Just out of his teens, 20 years old, and what's he doing? He's turning around, and everything that was invested in him by his parents and backed up by the church, he's sharing that. He's giving that to the next younger set of kids. Okay, so that's the excitement. That's the greatness about what's going on here. As we see, Jesus, all these families are bringing their kids because they want this blessing. And not just for now, they want it forever. So that's what we get to see. And for us, we have a bit of an advantage. Right back then, they were talking to Jesus. And well, I guess you could say they had an advantage because they got to see him face to face. Is anybody looking forward to that? I am so looking forward to that. That's going to be unbelievable when I finally get to see my Savior face to face. Cool. Right? But he was in the process of revealing himself to them and showing everybody who he truly was. So in some ways, we have the advantage. Why? Because we see the finished work so that you and I can be secured because of him. That's unbelievable, right, when you think about it. So we get up here and we talk, we have confidence. As Tori mentioned, the Bible isn't just a bunch of fictionalized stories. It's not just an allegorical book. These are hard facts, and the facts are coming out to reiterate and support the Bible constantly as research goes on in all different fields. So we have this incredible opportunity to participate, and I don't care how old or young you are, Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. The next thing is, believe on me. So, again, we have this opportunity because of the time in which we live. When someone comes and they ask Jesus, they put their belief on him, you become a member of his church. This is the church age. This is the time in which this church is being built. Those of us who were not born into Jewish families in history have been grafted into what Jesus is doing. But Jesus was talking about something different because he wasn't talking about the church. He said the kingdom. The kingdom is different than the church. You know why? Because the kingdom is not a geographical experience. The kingdom is a person. Jesus invites you to be with him because he is the kingdom. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the creator. And he wants you to be invited to participate with him in such a way that you and I can look forward to what he's going to and is continuing to create right now when it's our time to be reunited with him. But this kingdom opportunity is phenomenal. And the other thing he said about this kingdom is, and this is so, so important, and I have people question this some, is God really for everybody? What about those who don't hear? Well, number one, we don't know what all God's doing, but if you're listening this morning, you're hearing it this morning, so the question is, what are you going to do? Right? God wants to invite you into his kingdom. So we look at it, and as we see, I'll go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 16. And they were bringing the children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So he used two pronouns there. Number one, it says let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom. And then later on, he expands that and says, truly I say unto you, whoever does not receive. So was Jesus inviting children to himself for that blessing, right? Because they're of their innocence? No. Those little petri dishes of sin are not innocent. Just saying. Okay, I'm saying. But you know, here's the thing. Children are open. They're simple in their understanding, and they are ready to rest in the provider and protector's arms completely. When Jesus asks us to believe on him, it's to take the belief in yourself, in your own abilities, in your own life, to take control of it, to be in charge of it, to define it, to make it, to whatever the new lingo of the day is. He says, give that all up. If you want to have eternal life, you have to put it all on me. And that's the invitation this morning. Just put it all on him. Let him do what he said he would do, right? And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Okay, we've seen three different passages of Scripture from Mark, Luke, and Matthew that this same story is related to us. There's a little bit of difference in some of the details to help flesh it out for us, but the core truth, right, is there, and it's repeated word verbatim. But here's the other thing. For those who haven't known Jesus, I want you to understand exactly what we're dealing with here. Jesus is there for everyone. The disciples saw a daunting task, a tiring task, an inconvenient task, something that went against their timetable or their lunch schedule or their preferences because it was such a big task. And Jesus said over and over again, I'm here for everyone. That's what the word them is, right? I'm there for them. I'm there for everyone. I'm there for everyone. I'm there for everyone. Maybe some here, well, I know some here this morning have already come. Jesus is here for you. There's some here this morning, you haven't come yet. Jesus is here for you. The invitation is open to literally everyone. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised again from the dead, he did something for everyone. Will everybody accept it? No. It's a very, very heart-wrenching, sad fact. No. But is it out there for everyone? Yes. Yes, it absolutely is. So when we have children like this, and we're able to take time and invest in them now, it is not an inconsequential effort. It is absolutely the opposite of this. There is nothing more important that we can be doing, but we have our own personal relationship with Christ, than to turn around and invest that in the little ones who don't even quite know yet. Right? But they have this opportunity at a young age to learn about Christ. And for some of us who didn't get saved till later, I was fortunate. I was 9 when I came to the reality of this. Okay? I grew up, my parents were very faithful to the Lord, and I had that opportunity and I understood it young. But for those, maybe you didn't get that when you were a kid. Right? But you're here now. Someone brought you. Someone was smart enough, cared enough, brave enough to say, hey, listen, I want you to come with me. I want you to check something out. And so what Jesus has asked us to do this morning is to just come to him. And maybe you had a great week planned this week, and then life just beat the living daylights out of you. Maybe you had a great week this week, and all of a sudden everything was like roses, and everything went better than you could have expected. Wherever you are at on the spectrum of what happened today, this week, that's a circumstantial situation. And we know that can change and does change all the time. But we're talking about something that never changes, something that's a hard and fast rule, something that can bring us complete and utter confidence. We have this opportunity to start truly living. Because we can come to the one, the only one, that's the life giver. And that's the invitation this morning. It's really pretty simple out there, guys. It's very fun. It's very exciting. If you haven't been part of it yet, man, don't leave this morning without talking to somebody. There's nothing, literally nothing more important in this world than you're right with God. And maybe you've had a rough week and you need to talk to somebody. Second most important thing, don't wallow around by yourself. Go talk to somebody. Right? Why do you think people from this church pitch in and put money in the coffers over and above what they ordinarily give so that someone can go to camp? Because maybe mom and dad are struggling. Maybe things are tight and tough right now. Right? Because there's nothing more important. And it's okay to accept help. It's not a handout. It's an investment. right? And like all investments, Ryan, you can tell us this, right? Ryan Strange, our investment guy here. Okay, Ryan can tell you, not all investments work out exactly how you want them to. But that's not the point. Our job is to invest. The results, that's up to the Christ. That's up to the Lord. Okay? But my desire, my hope, is that this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't leave until you do. I'm not Jesus, okay? But I'm willing to hang here, if you got questions, till everybody's questions are answered. But here's the other great thing about it. It's not just me. If someone brought you here this morning, they're willing to hang with you until you get your questions answered too. Or maybe you came on your own and you don't know anybody. Come see me. If I'm busy, I'll grab someone else and we can talk to you. It's too important that you don't leave here this morning without knowing Christ. So, that's right, guys. I think I'm going to be wrapping it up early this morning. This is great. My wife's going to be a little disappointed. She's at the cabin. She always thinks my messages are the best when they're short. Right? But I tell you, there's a great joy that we have. Anybody here watching the Olympics this week? It's sad to look at the stands and see them empty, but it's great to see these athletes. And you just think about this. What do? They compete to grab what? A corruptible crown. Right? It's great for this life. They're going to be blessed, you know, but it's over. You don't take it with you. Right? You leave that here. The only thing you take with you is your family. And that's what Oak Grove is. We're just a big old family that's getting bigger. Right? So we want you to be here. We want you to be part of it with us. And we thank you for the Lord. For those who are guests today, man, we are thankful you made the drive down from way up north in Pine City. It's great. So it's really good to have you here. And we're very thankful for the giftness of your daughter and the blessing of Ryan. So let's pray. Oh, one more thing. I forgot this. I'm sorry. Well, it's gonna fit right into the prayer. I'm glad the Lord, I couldn't find my hair this morning either. It's been a rough day. But anyway, we are currently and have been diligently looking for a youth pastor. Okay. We need a guy that's ready to go the distance with kids. Right? We need someone to come in here and go, hey, I'm gonna love on these kids. And I'm going to be here for the long haul. That's what kids need. They need that stability. So we're praying for someone that fits that bill. Okay, it's too important for our young people not to. We got some great kids, and I've been doing a lot of youth work. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not as energetic at 60 as you are at 30. So we're just laying it out there for the kids right now, and we're having a great time. The kids love me, and I love them dearly. But we are looking for that next person, that new person to step in. Allows me to go on and do some other things that need to be done here too. So that's why I bring that up here as we do our prayer together. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to get together and just look at your word briefly. We thank you for the ability to celebrate everything that you've been doing. Like this summer has been incredible. And Father, we just thank you for each of these children. We just pray that the Holy Spirit would just talk to them early, that they would know to accept Christ as a young person, and that's totally acceptable to you. All it takes is that childlike faith, right? That openness to just say, hey, I'm going to transfer my belief and my abilities and myself to my Savior because I need a Savior. Father, we just thank you for that. Lord, we also just pray that as we search for an admin at the office, for a youth pastor, Lord, we don't want to be anxious. We don't want to rush this. We don't want to be smart and trying to figure this out. We just want to listen. You've invited us to participate in what you're doing here through this church, and we just want to do what you want done and how you want it done. So, Father, just please, we just pray that you would make it clear and obvious to us as people come before us that the Holy Spirit would just say yes, that we would know. And whatever it takes for time, Father, we're not trying to rush this. Whatever it takes for time, we know you'll sustain us, you continue to bless us, we will continue to grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And, Father, numerically, we thank you. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.